find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, you know it, most certainly goes without exception. When I say this, I genuinely mean it. She is an incredible leader. She is the founder and CEO of the Franchise Broker Association, also known as the FBA, which is one of the world's largest and certainly most respected franchise consulting networks in the world. Sabrina Wall, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. That was a very nice intro. I appreciate it, Nick.
Very well deserved, most certainly. I was excited to have you on the show. So you ready to get going?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right, let's do it. So I just mentioned what an incredible organization that you've created and we had the honor of being a part of. Would you mind sharing what the FBA is to you?
So our organization, the Franchise Brokers Association, started in 2008. So we've been around a really long time. And we started because I became a franchise broker consultant. And through the process of working as a consultant, I realized there was a lot to be desired. There was many, many gaps in the process. And at that time, there was no real presentations for franchises. There was no way to check the inventory of available franchise options. There was no way to really do a good job of matching a candidate who wanted to own a franchise with a franchise brand. So instead, what they had long, long ago was just a list of franchises and a commission next to them or a referral fee next to them and maybe a paragraph. So when I got into this industry, I didn't like that. I felt that there had to be a better way and I wanted to do a good job for the people that I was working with. So I had come from a computer science background, so I collected all this information on these various brands. And I went into their disclosure documents and I started looking for trends and looking for details and data about them. And then I put it all in a database and allowed myself to be able to filter through the variety of franchise brands out in the market based on what the characteristics are that the candidate who wanted to get into that franchise was interested in. And I found it was a much more fulfilling process when I could care so immensely about the people that I was working with and I could present something that I could really see them being good at. And that like thrill, that joy of helping people find something that truly fit what they were looking for, it inspired me. And so I loved being a franchise consultant, absolutely loved it. And I started helping all these other franchise consultants and we essentially got to the point where I was giving away this database over and over and over to a variety of franchise consultants. So there were all these instances of the database and it was hard to manage what was true and correct about the brand. So instead of having all these different instances, we decided to create one website that allowed us to have all this inventory of franchises, and then allowed different franchise consultants the opportunity to work together and learn from each other and, you know, develop their skills and best practices. And so the association was born as a result of wanting to help people find the right fit and truly raise the bar in the franchise consulting industry. And so today, our members are franchise consultants who help find the people that are looking for a brand, and then the franchise systems that list their franchises, and we collect all this data about them and kind of drill down what makes them unique. And so our members are these parties, and the system that we have helps people to find, vet, fund, and then own a good franchise through a variety of those vendors coming together in this hub and community that's all supporting good franchising practices. So that's what we do.
Yeah, I love how it came together organically. Something that I've observed, Sabrina, your home office is incredible. The people you have on your team are awesome. And I think that's a credit to your leadership and vision and the clarity around that. And I love that you pointed out that that all started organically. And, I look at the people on your team as a byproduct of, you said good franchising. But I'm curious, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
I don't know. I'm kind of odd in what drives me. I don't think it's normal things. I have been on kind of a spiritual quest for much of my adult life. And that quest is to know and love God. And for me, I tried the beginning part. I tried using spirituality and tried to find ways to manipulate the world to give me what I want in the first half of that process. So I was trying to find happiness. I was trying to find peace. And I was working really hard at learning and educating myself and doing exploring all these spiritual paths to try and find that sense of connection and peace. And I had a pretty turbulent upbringing. And so I just I came to my adult life with a lot of trouble to work through, a lot of baggage that I needed to work through. And so I started early having really high emotional reactions to the experiences that I was having as an adult. And I wanted to get control of that. I wanted to be better at not hurting people by me reacting or overreacting at a situation. And so these components all fit together, and it gave me the motivation to work really hard at getting better, at healing myself. And I did that through the process of really leaning on God and asking for help and guidance and using different tools that allowed me to surrender whatever I was going through to have more clarity about what the right directions were. And it took a while. It took a long time of really struggling with who I was and where I was at and what I needed to overcome, who I wanted to become. But I just stayed focused on listening to God and going toward that peace, that love that I feel when I'm in the presence of God. And so for me, that's been the driving force that has been like moving me toward the directions that I've gone. And as I, you know, got into my like late 30s and early 40s, I started to like, it just started clicking in a different way than it had in the past. And I started having these really deep spiritual experiences where I felt that like steadiness and peace all the time. And so now it's a lot easier for me to connect to that and to feel that steadiness. And I think when I have my team, when I have the members that we have, most people will call them clients, but I call them, you know, our franchise family. These people, I think when you start noticing someone who has healed to a certain point, you start to recognize that steadiness and you're drawn to people like that, because you know that the closer you get to people that are really healthy and are healing, it's like you go with them. So I have collected people that are like that in my, you know, in our clients, our memberships, in our team. And we've all been kind of growing and getting healthier and healthier together. And it makes for this just really like beautiful life, because it's still hard. You still go through troubles, but you always have somebody who's there and cares and is willing to support you through it. And so, yeah, those people, that connection, that experience of doing things we're really passionate about and love, doing it with this sense of peace underneath, and doing it in a way where we're all elevating together. It's so powerful. And I wish everyone could have that. And it's one of the reasons why I love franchising so much, because there's so many people in franchising that are just exceptional leaders that are making healthier and healthier choices and are working on community and connection and care for each other, where a lot of other industries or segments of the marketplace don't have that. They're not used to that. I was talking to somebody at our conference and he was saying, this seems like I'm in a different universe. He was coming from the entertainment industry and he was just commenting that it's so cutthroat in like everyone's out to get you in that type of environment. And just everyone has these huge egos that you're trying to manage all the egos. But our kind of culture and experience is so opposite from that. Like we're just not like that. Like we don't have to do that because we feel so steady in ourselves and in each other that we can always just see the best in each other and work towards better and better outcomes. So even when we're having conflict, we're doing that respectfully. And it just creates a really amazing experience that I hope more people know is possible and move toward, because franchises like Lime, for instance, you know, you guys have that kind of culture where people are looking out for each other. They're not like looking to stab you in the back, and it exists. And the more communities we build that are like that, the better our whole society and culture will be, because it bleeds. It bleeds into the families. It bleeds into your friendships. It bleeds into your communities. And so now your employees, like now one person or one company that's healed and doing that clear, healthy work, they just start affecting all these other people and all these other communities. And so that's my hope for humanity and for the world, is that we'll all get to the point where we can be so healthy and steady in that like truth, that love, that presence that's underneath, that we don't need to try to overpower each other. And instead we can reach out, lift out our hand and pull people up. And that's the point, right? That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much of what you said, I was thinking about your theme for last year's conference, which was Rise Up.
Yeah.
And your ability to help those around you rise up, and doing life with people is not always easy. Going right. through the journey of whatever it may be in the marketplace, there's so many factors, and it's your genuine heart for leaning in and helping other leaders rise up that is truly inspiring. And I can see how you've attracted a home office that's committed to that same mission, which is why FBA is one of the most respected franchise consulting networks in the world. So thank you for your commitment to franchising and helping folks achieve the American dream of entrepreneurship. And so this year's theme was legacy. What mm-hmm. does legacy mean to you?
This year's theme was really hard for me. It really didn't resonate. It's not like something I think about very often. I don't think about really what I'm doing in that way. I think about the people that I get to experience life with. Like that's where I spend a lot of my focus. So legacy, writing that was really hard. I had to kind of work through some major resistance to what is legacy? How do you even define it? How do you put it on paper? What does it matter? And what I talked about in the speech or the presentation was that a lot of people define legacy at the end of their life about what they accomplished and what they did and who they were then. And I wanted to see it a little bit differently and invite others to see it differently, that your legacy is being built in every little moment, in every little interaction that you have. And I'll share a story with you. Like one of my guilty pleasures is I like learning about and listening to people who have had near-death experiences, because they always tell these like incredibly beautiful stories of the family they reunited with and how they got to meet God, and the feelings that they had and the clarity that they had about the wholeness in them. But one of the things they often talk about is that they go through this life review and they see everything that they experienced in life, but they experience it from the other people in the room. And they get to feel what it felt like being the receiver of what they were doing. And I always find that so fascinating. And I keep it in like really, really close in my awareness. So when I'm doing something, I try to do it with the very best intentions for the other person. And I think to myself, you know, in that life review, when we meet each other again, how will you see this interaction? Was it one that really helped you and supported you and helped me and supported me too? Or will it be something that like we both hurt from, and I experienced the hurt of how I behaved in that moment? And both happen. I'm a human being, but I just try to keep it present that, you know, as you're going through life, every single moment matters. And we can neglect though a lot of moments. We can get distracted and get focused on other things. We can zone out. We can self-medicate. We can get intoxicated. Like, we could do a lot of things with our moments. And I just want to be really careful with my moments, that I'm sowing a seed that plants something really beautiful for people, because I think that's our gift. We have that potential and we can use it if we do, if we just choose to, but we let ourselves get pulled into all of these other things. So I don't know, my legacy, or what I think legacy is each of those moments, like sowing something that is beautiful that you can plant in an interaction with someone, or in care that you give with an animal, or with your business, or with someone that you meet along the street. Like, how can you make each of those experiences so special and genuinely cared for the way that God would care for them, you know?
Right. You know, I love that you just said that. I was literally watching something online, and the person that was talking, he was explaining how he had interacted with a lot of people when they were close to the end of their life. And, mm-hmm. you know, nobody talked about the trophies or, you know, the money or the titles, mm-hmm. or their degree, et cetera. What they talked about was the relationships that they had, and what they most wanted were the people that meant something to them in their life. And he also went on to talk about, his belief in that when you do die, you see different versions of yourself. Mm-hmm. And, there were versions of you that could have been, and, mm-hmm. you know, did you realize those things? And, just, going after it. Right.
Yeah.
And pursuing those versions of yourself. And I just thought that was really beautiful, and it, relates to what you were saying with legacy. And so you did such a great job of kind of foreshadowing that across the franchise space, and really our responsibility to one another within the franchise space of helping each other, whether we're up or down or mm-hmm. whatever it may be, that our legacies are defined in community. And I just thought that was so beautiful. Being intentional about who you can be and pursuing those versions of yourself, because you only get one life, right? And mm-hmm. doing it in community. You know, I think something that's special about franchising is it is a very much a culture-based industry. And, good franchising in large parts is, doing just that. Having a collaborative, healthy community within an organization that's all united to serve the same customer. Mm-hmm. And that is a unique culture. And I love how you lead with that same posture. Obviously very empathetic and collaborative to the space at large. And I always love seeing you press forward to give vision for just that. So thanks again, Sabrina. You know, one of the things that you provided in all of that was an acronym that I think was very helpful in assisting with that. And you talked about something called CPR. What does that mean?
So it's an acronym that is really about going through hard things and the relationship that is exposed during those hard things. So the acronym is CPR, and it stands for Connect, Protect, and Redirect. And essentially what I'm talking about is when you're in a fight with someone or someone upsets you and you're starting to go into that fight or flight mode with them, your feelings are kind of coming up, you're reacting. One of the things that I've learned is it's very important to stop. And instead of going into the fight or the flight, attempt to connect instead. And so I talked about various stories where you can choose to connect and go into saying, hey, you know, I want to be in this relationship. I want to have this conversation with you because I do care about what you feel and what the outcome is going to be. So the connecting part allows for you to kind of ground in a moment of turbulence and say, okay, wait, I need some CPR. Let me connect with this person because maybe they're seeing something I'm not seeing. Maybe I need to just hear them. Maybe I need to do whatever it takes to just know that I'm listening and there for this interaction. I think so many people ignore this. They jump over the connection part and they just expect someone to do what they want them to do. They move into control instead of connect. So they want that other person to be a certain way or to do a certain thing, but they're not creating the connection that allows for that other person to open up enough to be that person that they want them to be. So connecting is really important. The next one is protect. So it's essentially what I was talking about was the relationship is always more important than the issue. And again, people can get so fixated on the issue that they forget about the relationship. And especially when you're in long-term legacy building types of relationships where maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a friendship. If it's in franchising is full of long-term relationships. You're going to see these people again and again and again and again. So if you hear that someone is going through a hard time or you hear that or you're upset with somebody, instead of kind of pointing fingers and, you know, joining in on the blame game and judgment game about that person or that company, it's better to take the position of protecting them and saying, I'm sure they had good intentions and I want to understand what those intentions are. So in one vein, I was talking about, you know, essentially, not pointing fingers, not joining in, starting to protect that person, protect both parties, the pro and the con, and kind of creating this space where they're both honored. Like, it's okay to have different opinions. It's okay to have different positions, but we still get to treat each other well. We still can choose to be good to each other through the whole thing. And the other kind of frame was, you know, when people are down in franchising, if you join in on that blame game, it actually hurts all of us because it starts making franchising look bad and look like there's all these shady people in franchising or these people that aren't doing it right. And really, anybody who's not doing something right, again, franchising is a long-term relationship. You can go talk to them and you can talk to them about what they're doing and you can ask them why and you can offer other solutions and you can talk to them about the impact. Like, it's, you have that power instead of joining in and, you know, fighting against people, really trying to join with them and give them another option. So connect, protect, and then redirect is the giving them another option side. It's saying that, hey, there are other ways to do this. And we know that there's goodness in there and what you're wanting to accomplish. Let's try to redirect it to something more positive. Maybe we can figure out a way to work through this. Maybe there's an alternative that we're not seeing. Maybe we should invite more people into the discussion to be able to have a more full perspective. Maybe there's more to the story. And so that acronym is really on how to rebuild the relationship. And one component that I mentioned through the process is that, you know, with franchising, you have a long-term contract, but with other relationships, you can also make a verbal or written commitment to stay for the long term with those people. And that verbal or written commitment has shown up throughout my life in a variety of ways. Through my marriage, you know, we had people vow at our ceremony to support us in our marriage. So we invited the whole audience into the marriage ceremony, and we asked them, you know, to vow to help us back and together and help, you know, support us into our relationship better, instead of like picking a side and, you know, defending me, but putting him down. I didn't want that. I wanted my community to say, hey, let's come back together. Like, this isn't you. Let's do this together. And then with my friends, we wrote a soul contract. And another one is the soul contract was just basically like, we committed to staying together through all of these tough times and living the good and the bad together through lifetimes. And then I even had a little mentee that I was mentoring through Children's Home Society. It's a long time ago, but she and I had been mentoring her and picking her up on a weekly basis. And she's, you know, gone through this abusive, traumatic situation in her life. She was a parent of an incarcerated parent, or a child of an incarcerated parent. And she wasn't opening up to me. And, you know, that's unusual for me, because I usually can get people to be really open and warm pretty easily, but she was reserved and walled off. And I said to her just one day, I said, I'm not going to leave you. So even when the mentoring is over, the annual term, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to keep mentoring you. And it was like that act of telling her, I'm in this for the long term, like, I'm going to stay with you. That's what opened her up. And we had this like incredible, I think we were mentoring through that program for 5 years. We were like the longest mentors of any of the mentors, because I just stayed with her, and it changed the experience. So I just encourage anybody, if you're serious about going into franchising, or a friend, if you really truly make that commitment to them in writing or even verbally that, hey, I'm going to be there for the long term, it does something to people where there's like a trust, a connection, a bond that is built, and it allows you to have more leniency and acceptance for the little isms that each person has and any of the flaws that might show up. It's like, okay, well, yeah, that's an issue, but we're in this for the long term. And so we're going to handle it. And it just gives you more power to make those wiser decisions by having that contract or vow. And so the CPR had a lot of examples of those vows to stay in it for the long term.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a practical acronym there. Connect, redirect, and protect. We talk a lot at Lime about healthy collaboration. And, you know, it's a long-term contract, a franchisor, franchise owner, and we're making decisions, we're obviously greatly invested in the decisions that are made. And there's a lot of stakeholders, decision makers. And at the end of the day, we have to unite for one thing, which is the customer. And there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of thoughts and talents. And so I'm going to use that CPR. I'm going to share it with my team. It's so useful. So again, I think, it's so neat that the way that you lead, it is so applicable to franchising as a whole. And so again, thank you. I have another question for you. I love your context. And so I want to hear, what is good franchising to you?
So we often say that a good franchise for one person is not a good franchise for another person, just not a one size fits all situation, because every business, just like you, a certain employee wouldn't do well with one company and will be amazing and a superstar performer at another company. There's a cultural fit. There's a goals fit. There's a financial alignment fit. There's a lot of things that go into whether or not a particular brand is going to be a good match for a person. And so we say that good franchises are essentially brands that are a right alignment based on, you know, a variety of factors about a particular person. But overall, I mean, just thinking of franchising, I think some of the things that people look for in a good franchise is one that is proven, you know, they've done their homework. They know how to run a successful business in the space that they're in. So we want to see things like good, proper systems, proper reporting mechanisms that allow the franchise owners to see how well they're doing compared to themselves and compared to other franchise owners. I think that that ability to measure allows you to make better and better and better decisions over time. And without it, you just do a lot of guessing. And we're in the business of knowing, not guessing. We want to know. And when the system is a good system with metrics, you're spending a lot more time knowing and you're working more diligently on the things that will iteratively move the business forward in the right direction. So you're in a business to be successful. So having a franchise system that knows how to do that and has the tools to show you how to do that is foundational. That's an important need. There's also the team and the support that's available to a franchise or to a franchise owner. When a franchise owner is starting in a system, they have a lot of problems. They need a lot of help. And we are looking for franchise brands that show up for them. Even newer franchises, like they're emerging brands that are young, but their leaders are so committed to making sure those franchisees are successful. They're in there supporting them, helping them, being like on speed dial, letting the franchise owner know that they're supported and giving them good advice so they make the best decisions. Like that comes from really the heart of the leadership at the franchise system. The culture that is created from that heart of the leadership, it makes a difference in how happy people are with that system, how successful they are, and how much they enjoy being a business owner. So good franchises are ones that have really good teams and great tools, and they allow that person, the franchise owner, to bring out what's exceptional in them through the process of working with those tools and teams. So that's what I would say. Franchising is very beneficial because you can see the track record. It's a written document of the last year's and prior year's performance of that brand. So if you know what you're looking at and you do your homework, you can get a lot of good information about the viability of a particular system before you ever make a decision to buy. And that's abnormal in the marketplace. There are not many other things that you can look into the closets, look under the covers. Like, you can really inspect the franchise in a lot of ways before you ever make an investment. And so that long due diligence process is one that, you know, if you're doing good research, you can find out those things and then make good decisions about the good brand for you.
Absolutely. And that's why I love working with the consultants at FBA. You guys are so committed to training your consultants to doing just that. And that's a big reason why, in my opinion, the FBA is one of the most respected consulting networks in the world, frankly. It's quite different being a franchisor than a successful ma and pa, right? And making that transition requires supporting that winning formula and turning it into data that can objectively be coached against, benchmarked against peers, and creating that community where folks can have one of the biggest advantages in business, which is peers to say, yes, do this, don't, you know, keep doing that, stop mm-hmm. doing that, I can relate to this. It really is a cheat code for the amount of time and resources that it takes to become good at delivering something in the marketplace. Because frankly, you know, not too many companies are Apple, where you're creating something for the first time and you're so innovative that you're really leading the marketplace. Most of business is a commodity, and the consumer really doesn't care, right? They're going to put their hard-earned money with companies that have figured those things out. So in 2025, there was a movement called responsible franchising. Why do you think that really caught steam in 2025?
So this is a part of the conversation where for me it brings up more of my ego. So I have to actually be really careful, and I'm just going to work through some of it with you guys too, as I explain it. But so the responsible franchising movement was designated by and created by the International Franchise Association, which is a highly respected, very powerful organization in franchising. And they do incredible work in connecting franchisees and franchisors and vendors all together. They bring in incredible speakers. They lobby for the health of franchising and support franchising. So they're very connected in the legislative environment, and they do the amount of work that they put into the legislative effort protecting small business and franchising is mind-boggling. Like, it, having done just a little tiny piece of it over the last, you know, year and a half, it's astonishing to me how much they can output and how much work they have done for franchising. So I have a lot of respect for them and what they've accomplished and what they've done. The Responsible Franchising Initiative was something that they were working on in 2025. And it was, I think, well-intentioned. It was focused on bringing transparency to the award and sales process. And it was focused on increasing broker disclosure, as well as some other disclosure variables. And there were more initiatives too, but those are the ones that I'm most familiar with. So essentially, this initiative is what spawned the collaborative effort between the IFA and the AAFD, the American Association of Franchisees and Dealers, and another organization as well. It spawned the process of them collaborating to propose a bill to the California senator. And through that process, they came up with language for that bill. And for us, it was a situation where it would not have been favorable to our industry. And from our perspective, it would have hurt many emerging franchises. I'm talking about franchises under 500 units. It would have been very complex for a franchise consultant that we support to comply with. And what I was concerned about is there were, you know, privacy issues and there were compliance issues, a lot of fees, and a variety of different things that were adding liability, adding cost, and were essentially making it harder for the good guys to do the good stuff. And the people that are doing, you know, bad things out in the world, they're going to do what they're going to do. It's, I don't think the laws don't stop them already. They're already hacking and doing those things. So we were concerned with the negative impact of that legislation. And so we got very active in educating and bringing more people into making changes to the language in those bills and those initiatives so that they were more protective of everyone in franchising, including emerging brands, franchisees, the whole story, the whole group, because we are an ecosystem and we all rely on each other and we need to work together to make those relationships and investments that people have really successful. And the cool thing about, you know, franchising is that, you know, there were a couple situations that kind of spawned or spurred this initiative. And they were, you know, a couple franchises that, you know, one of them had grown too quickly. And through that, like, massive and extreme growth, they ended up having some serious failures after that, because they just couldn't support the amount of growth and new franchise owners that they had. And another couple stories were related to franchise owners who essentially were like scam artists or con artists, and they built these franchises, they build them out, and instead of when they started hitting problems, instead of leaning in and fixing those problems, they took all the money and left the country. So those really in those two situations, they spurred this process where people were like, well, is franchising bad? And if you look at all of the thousands of franchises that are out there, we have a very low percentage of them that are actually really bad franchises. Those two that did that, there was no warning. Like, they didn't have prior criminal records. Like, it wasn't clear that those people would do that. And I mean, anybody, look at Enron, you don't know who's going to just lose their mind and fall into fear and make these horrible decisions. But you can work with and align yourself with people who do have that level of steadiness, that do have that level of care, and there are plenty of them in franchising. So I think the initiative, while well-intentioned, was to kind of combat some of this negative press that was happening. And it just wasn't ready yet. And we, you know, focused on educating more people, getting involved, and doing our best to give another perspective about the good work that we do and the people that we help and the impact that we're making. I don't think a lot of people that didn't use franchise consultants, they didn't understand all the things that were going on behind the scenes and all the care and the support and the just goodness that was coming from the franchise consulting community. So it was an opportunity for us to join in on the conversation and move it forward in a positive direction. But it's kind of like a hard topic because it does have this kind of negative experience for me, because the proponents of responsible franchising, some of them didn't like us speaking up and didn't like us getting involved in the conversation, and were very vocal about that, and you know, did some things that weren't the best and hurt. You know, they were kind of painful experiences. But ultimately, even when you go through hard things, the point is to help as many people as possible in the process. And so for me, going through those hard things was 100% worth it, because the amount of people that we were able to put that little sowing of good seeds in and to help, it was just enormous. And it was ended up being a really beautiful experience, even though it was extremely difficult. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for explaining that. You simplified it, and I think in large part, that's an example of CPR. Connect. protect it and redirect.
Right.
And I know from day one, right, as we talked about organically, you've really been invested in good franchising and great diligence. And unfortunately, that's not the case across the industry. And I know that emotionally, it can really hit home because, when you're in your bubble and committed to good franchising, you can kind of be, you know, put your head up and say, what the heck's going on here? Yeah. So thank you for contributing to the solution to really level up franchising, because that's what it's all about. Right. Improving the overall reputation of franchising so that we can be in this for the long haul and not create unnecessary regulation or lawsuits because of those bad actors. And what a great demonstration of your leadership as somebody that is incredibly good in franchising and runs an organization that's just truly special and represents good franchising. And we just love being a part of your network because of your leadership and your home office. And you can sense it, feel it. It's everywhere. You guys really do things in a special way. So thank you so much. I want to ask you another question here as we start to wrap things up. What do you think all these changes are going to do for the future of franchising?
I mean, we don't know where they're going to end up yet, but I think at this point we have a much more balanced perspective in the process. So I think there's definitely going to be a registration requirement for franchise consultants and franchise FSOs. So they're going to have to register with at least one centralized registration database, and that registration is essentially a path for liability, because it lets anyone who's been harmed, or like attorneys, it lets them have access to a more public database of that information. So that can be more liability, but I think it will also, if it's done right, if the next season of these conversations and discussions are done in a collaborative way where people are looking out for each other, I think it can end up being really good, adding more professionalism, maybe even encouraging people to get more layers of education. I know we're working to help more people have access to franchise sales and award education, and making it more like globally accessible to our franchise community. So, yay. So there's more initiatives like that where people will become more and more educated. I think having so much attention on the issues of the franchise award process has created more attention and more focus on putting in more double checks, using AI, using more attorneys to check the work and the ways people are saying things. So there's, I think ultimately it's going to be a good outcome. I know it is, because it's an outcome that is divinely guided, and anything that we're experiencing, we're on the right path. So I'm very grateful for where we are. I think franchising has so much potential. It is crazy how many people don't truly understand how to be successful in franchising and how to find the right franchise, that franchising investments are even an option. And so there's a large pool of opportunity out there. It's just us getting pulling together, educating, committing to each other, getting the message out about the connection and care within franchising, and allowing people to really feel it and live it as they're in the franchise community.
Yeah, franchising is certainly the future, and we're just preparing for the big league. So,
yeah,
thank you for that, Sabrina. So, final question for you: why do you love franchising so much?
I mean, I think it's just so beautiful. Again, the relationships are something that, when you're building long-term relationships and you're going through hard things together, you get stronger, like really strong, and you get strong in good ways. Franchising gives you that opportunity. And there's this quote by James Clear, and he says, "You don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems." And I love that quote because it's so true. With franchising, it's all about systems. It's about systems for everything you do, and helping to streamline the processes of producing healthy companies, and then healthy products, and good customer experiences. And when you're doing that, you have more time to focus on the connection and the care between your employees and your community and your customers, like what we're doing and what you're doing. And that is the gift of franchising, that it moves you past a lot of hard stuff, and then it moves you into this cleaner way of operating, and allows you to use that extra space to align with a lot of high level, strong people and leaders that inspire you to be more and better, and grow into the greater version of yourself. And I love that, because we all have so much inside of us that's just like sitting there waiting to be tapped into. And franchising is the way to do it, because you've got the support structures and the cleanliness and the people and the leadership. There's just so many things that are making that a ascension process of like bringing out what's best in you possible. And that's why I love it. It's really amazing.
No kidding. Yeah, it's the ultimate innovation factory, that's for sure. And I think it goes back to Michael Gerber's fundamental principles, right? Of you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and duplicating simple processes. It really is a special space. And once you're in it, you just can't get out.
So it's sticky like a web. It holds so you.
Absolutely. So if anyone would like to reach out to you, Sabrina, how can they do that?
You can go to our website at www.franchiseba.com. That's B as in boy, A as in apple. I have a LinkedIn, and I don't know what my LinkedIn profile is. So you can find me as Sabrina Wall and the Franchise Brokers Association on LinkedIn. Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. I appreciate it.
And you know what to do, hit that subscribe button. More importantly, drop a comment down below. This has been an incredible conversation. I have certainly leveled up. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. So yeah, drop a comment. And as always, level up.
Level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.